Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, October 17th. Hi, Tori.
Hello, good morning.
And it's raining in LA, believe
raining
it or not.
Raining in LA.
And we're celebrating, man. I love the rain. I don't know about
I
you.
I love the rain.
You know, it creates such a mood, you know.
And I'm from D.C., and I'm a big rain tea or coffee, maybe some liquor in there, by a fireplace. Even if it's, to me, that's so I'm so drama heavy, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm obsessed.
Right.
So I was going to get a new phone case, and I was looking between, I go to society6.com. It's local artists, and they can put anything on the back of a phone case. I had one of a pickle, and it said, I'm a really big dill for a while. And like, that to me, it was the best you could ever
you
get.
You love that stuff.
But it did look like somewhat of a penis, the pickle from afar.
Okay.
So anyway, I wanted to get one of a girl watching the rain when it's with tea. That
really?
Was the painting. Or I got this one. It's two penguins looking up at another penguin with balloons. And he's flying and it says, Bob didn't listen to the haters. Because he can fly as a penguin. Anywho, that's my
wow,
story.
I love that. So it's good. It's cool, though, because it's a conversation starter,
oh,
right?
Oh, yes.
I mean, people are going to
when I go
ask
to auditions, Mama takes this out and Mama
and
puts it on
puts
the...
It
I'm Mama,
down.
By the way.
Yeah.
And Mama talks to the casting director.
And she puts it upside down
that's
and
right.
then they'll have a question
exactly.
or two. There you go. You see? You're smart.
Oh, I'm very smart.
You're very smart. Even if you didn't bring your paper with you.
I know. I didn't bring my newspaper. And if your listeners... I don't know what I'm... I feel like my boobs are out or something. I feel
yeah, she
very
feels
naked.
Blind.
Yes.
But we do have a guest in the studio, so
thank
you
God.
Won't have to worry about your
thank
newspaper
God.
Today. And, yeah, so did you have a nice weekend?
I had a great weekend. I hung out with some friends who had a baby recently, and I hadn't seen the baby because I don't know what to do with a baby.
Right.
And she's almost two, and she is so darling, and all of a sudden I was... She was focused. She played with my dogs. It was great.
Really?
We had mimosas, sat outside. It was lovely. So
yeah.
I was like, I'm getting better with little children.
Yeah, good. You
yeah.
got to prepare for the big
know,
time, you
Jesus,
know?
I know.
For the main event.
I'm good when they're like 4 and 5 and we can play imaginary games because that's all I do anyway. But when they don't, when they can't talk, I'm like, hello, little thing.
Right.
Hello.
That's true. You want them to communicate with you.
They just stare at me. Like, I feel right. like my audience is at stand up and I'm like, this is dreadful.
Even at two, though? I mean,
stared
at two.
Long.
Really?
Nice long focus just at me and I'm like I feel totally judged
yeah.
I'm like I hated it. This is terrible.
Wow. Our guest is having a good time. We'll get to you in a few
yeah.
moments. We have a filmmaker and a funny man here and
very
it's going to be an awesome show. So, and today we're recording the whole thing for crying out
wow,
loud.
Wow, what
a
strange
we totally
stuff.
Cut off the show couple days ago and I was so irritated.
He got upset. You know, sometimes you make mistakes and what do for mistakes? You learn, you move on.
That's true, right?
But if you hold on to them, you're right. building a prison of your own making.
Right.
You can step out of that prison. The door's open.
That's true. That's very true. I have to think about
I'm
that.
I'm studying the Buddhist thing right now.
That's
you
true.
Want?
You are, right?
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense to you.
Yeah, because and that's something that's very interesting because you're from Israel and then came here, but I'm studying Pema Chodron and she talks a lot about the Western culture, which you're very much from here. Guilt and a lot of guilt and self deprecating and hurt and anxiety is a very Western culture.
Mm.
So the East doesn't have that as much as like if they do something wrong, they move on. We like take it and put a samurai sword in our, I shouldn't have said samurai, but
right.
a sword in our like hearts. So it's all about her teaching is how not to have those when you get hooked by something, how to move on without just staying hooked.
But do you think we can do that? Because we're an individualistic society and back there in Asia, they're more like groups, you know, or like or classes or whatever you want to call it, but they're always in groups. In other words, the group is more important than the individual.
Right.
That
well,
I know
that's
of.
That's sort
in
of like communism, but like, and I
no,
do,
no, not communism at all. This is like in Asia and stuff like
that. Yeah,
I mean,
China's
like Japan and stuff.
Yeah,
you
no,
know?
Definitely. I do think I see what you're saying. You're saying because the West like, is selfish, like more individualized.
Right.
Absolutely.
So we need to protect maybe our ego a little more.
Oh, it's all about the ego.
Right.
The whole thing about the West is ego. So when the Dalai Lama came to do that talk, he asked Pema, what should I talk about? And she said the ego, the guilt, because he was doing a Western a tour, and she was like, it's all about the guilt.
Yeah,
the amount of guilt we put on ourselves is tremendous.
That's true, especially if you're Jewish and you have a mother that puts a guilt on you,
or Catholic. Like, yeah, I'm Jewish and married a Catholic. I'm like guilt heaven.
Yeah, right.
But it's very hard to move on, because then you feel like for an instant it does feel better if you berate yourself.
Right.
Somehow it scratches that itch for like a hot second, but like in the end, you're just going to end up scratching yourself to death.
That's true. And that's what happens. You know, we have a lot of depression and suicide and things like that. So, yeah. You know, I'm wondering how come people in Asia emerged more like mellow than we are.
Mellow.
Right? Not all of them. I mean, they've had a lot of big wars there.
Yeah, but it's culture is a different thing. I think the whole idea of the self is very highly recognized in the West as opposed to maybe other things. But here it's ego, self, promotion. Everything is about the selfie. Everything. Right. And that's just not, I mean, I'm sure
it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, it's got good things to it. You
that's
know?
Capitalism. I mean, that's how you get, how you get Steve Jobs. That's how you get those people that have to push forward.
And you get to express yourself
absolutely.
Too. You know, I mean, you get to express yourself in so many different ways.
Absolutely.
Whereas in a group, all I know is look, sometimes like if a Japanese, like in business, I've heard this before, where they screw up or something, he'll go and kill himself because he let down the group, you know?
Yeah, there is a strange sense of like dying for the group. Yeah, that's an old, like the kamikaze where the suicide pilots would literally crash and save it for the rest of Japan. But what's interesting is like whether or not you're in a group or yourself, the idea of Buddhism is supposed to be about detachment. Mm. So it's that nothing is permanent, nothing sticks, everything's more like water than rock. So instead of being like, I messed up, I didn't record it, I'm going to be guilty. Mm-hmm. It's like, I messed up, I'm in the water,
more
I flowed
fluid,
this way,
right?
And now I'm going to flow that way. Mm. And I don't have to grab onto anything.
Yeah. Well, it's good. I mean, it seems to speak to you.
Because I have the same amount of guilt.
Yeah. But maybe it'll help a little bit.
I struggle with that a lot. And the idea of self-compassion was like, what? Mm. You know? So.
Yeah. I know. Now that my mother's older, I'm putting the guilt on her.
Oh, jeez. The roles have been reversed. Well, I'm still getting guilt for my mother.
Yeah. I mean, my God, she's behaving like a child now. I really think there's like dementia setting up.
I'm sure. And she's confused unhappy. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. It's not easy growing old, my
love.
It's not.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's hard. It can be very hard. But she's lucky to have someone like you, and you're lucky to still have her.
Right. And my brothers and stuff, you know. So, and they have the family. I mean, I go there every day.
So lucky.
But she does some strange things that have us really worried.
Mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my dad is like days or weeks from not being able to walk anymore from his Parkinson's.
Mm.
So, so that's where I'm at.
Get him to smoke some weed.
In fact, I did.
Marinol. I told you what happened.
I brought a joint for my mom on Saturday, and then I had to leave right away with my dad. So I don't know. No, but she stayed with her caregiver.
But did she smoke
I think all the caregiver said she got a little dizzy and she went to sleep.
Yeah.
So I told her don't smoke too much, you know, because she wasn't feeling it.
Yeah, she wasn't.
But I also gave her sativa. We'll try indica next time.
Sure.
We'll see. I'm pretty pretty
you fair-minded about it. You're fairly stocked.
Yeah, and well-versed in the area. Yeah. Although I don't know shit about dosage and all that stuff. So I'm trying to take it very easily with her.
Yeah, do it.
But I think it will help her in the long run.
Yeah, look into Marinol. Marinol.
Oh, I've read that. That's like in a pill. The THC
It doesn't have the dizziness effect, but it still has the calming effect.
Yeah, but you know what? It's like I was reading about it because I'm reading Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto right now.
Is he pro?
Yeah, very much so.
I didn't. The wrestler? The governor?
Yes.
Governor, who knew?
Yeah, because, but the same with, what's his name, Sanjay Gupta on CNN, that came and apologized and realized that medical marijuana does work for some people.
They're all going to apologize.
Right. So he's given you like so many examples of how it helps people and things like this. And all the background, which I've read several times about how they've demonized marijuana in the 30s and stuff, you know.
Reefer madness, baby.
Yeah, you know.
They had people jumping out of windows as if it was some kind of psychotic.
Right, you know, and they even gave it a Spanish-sounding name. It wasn't called marijuana because they wanted to associate it with
like
illegal Mexicans and things like that. Yeah, they were saying how they were like raping the girls, you know, giving them the weed and raping them and like the date drug or something, you know. But that's and that's how it happened. And but the bottom line is that the government still in 2016 will not reschedule marijuana to a lesser dangerous.
Just you wait.
In other words, it's the same class with heroin.
I know, but just you wait. You know?
I mean, cocaine is class two.
I'm putting my money where my mouth is. In Schedule less than 5 years, this will all be different.
Well, maybe, and I'll tell you why.
I'll people bet you $1.
No, but people are saying that we have Prop 64 here now. Mm-hmm. They're saying it probably is not going to pass again because the way it's written sucks, you know? It's not that people don't want marijuana here. It's just like the money won't end up going to education and to all that stuff.
They just have to get it right. They have to get the amendment right, and
exactly.
It'll pass. It will pass. It just has to – we have to be – it will pass.
Right.
I know it will. It has to.
I know. I mean, you got to get to the point where a doctor can actually take you how much – tell you how much marijuana and all that stuff, and you don't have to go to the dispensary and use a – you're someone who sells pot to tell you what kind of dosage to give a sick person.
Yeah, and I just read about a story of an autistic, severely autistic kid who just was given the CBD oil, the cannabinoid oil, and just spoke for the first time in like 3 years.
You see, those stories are amazing.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Seizures, epilepsy. I mean, really.
Right. You know, with Charlotte, that famous girl, mm-hmm. with the seizures and everything. I mean, from going to like... what, like 15 seizures
to
a day?
Like zero
to
something.
Zero
yeah,
or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, my money, I mean, I think gay marriage and marijuana came into our presence and in the campaign trail and have been actually pretty quickly changed. I mean,
that's
gone
true.
From not no support to where even Bill Clinton was don't ask, don't tell, to now his wife is like, gay marriage, everything is open. So,
right,
to
and
be
she
honest,
was against it.
She was. And in the long range of things, those two items have been really transformed pretty quickly. Mm. It's just we want it faster. But they have been moving pretty quickly. They will get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, eventually. I mean, you know. But, but at least people are not criminals anymore.
Right.
You know?
No, I know. And Obama just signed off on no solitary confinement for minors anymore.
Oh, really?
Executive order. And the cigars are allowed in.
Right.
Now.
You told us that.
Yeah.
That's
the
important.
Baby changing stations mandatory in all father.
Well, now Bill Clinton can actually abuse his interns with Cuban cigars.
Wazing! Yeah. 1990s hit. Oh, poor Bill.
Well, they're bringing him back up all the time.
I know.
You know.
Bill doesn't look too healthy either, does he? He looks like he's just drying away.
Yeah, that's true. He has slimmed up.
He's a vegan because of all the heart attack issues and the heart work. But he just looks anemic a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks gaunt and stuff. Yeah,
yeah, like a ghost of himself.
Yeah, I know.
Still love him. Still love the charismatic guy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, I'm anxious to get to our guest, but just one thing before that.
Yeah.
They made a big deal out of the fact that Lou Perry has turned 15. He's on the cover of AARP
magazine. I posted that and got 70 shares.
Are you serious?
Killing it. That is a little fucking crazy.
Right. You know what, though? I got to tell you, though, that to put someone at 50 on that magazine is a little ridiculous.
Wait, isn't it?
You can't compare 50 to 85 or,
I agree.
75.
I thought it was like a 65 plus.
No, this starts at 50. That's why they put him on, because he turned 50.
It's a little young for me.
Right? I mean, I've gotten one already, and I'm pretty irritated with that.
Jesus. Like gray hairs. I got one in the mail.
But they're tweeting, and they're saying, well, what does that mean? It means that we're all old.
Of course it does.
It makes us all old.
I like the new campaign for AARP where they call it ARP. They're
trying
to make it cool again. They're like, then you don't know ARP. And I'm like, if you're just saying it, the name, it sounds like fart. Like, don't do that.
Yeah,
that's
ARP.
Not cooler all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know, ARP.
ARP.
But you know, actually, that he was not a teenager when he did 90210.
Oh, he was like 45 years old when he did 90210.
No. Okay,
he was old. They tried to make him look 17, and he had like wrinkles. But he was hot as, I mean, still, let me just say something straight up. Luke Perry is still gorgeous. Mm. Let's not get me wrong.
Yeah, no.
At
50,
he looks fantastic.
Looks good. Yeah.
But he was hot as balls. But the thing is, he was much like, it was like Saved by the Bell. They're all like in high school. They're all like 40 years old.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, he was much older.
Well, to be exact, he was 24, but you're right. That's not far from 45.
He was playing 17, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be a senior.
Yeah, I know. Now, also, they had that old Coachella, right, this weekend? Did you hear about that one?
I totally
forgot it was happening.
Well,
but
they said some of the tickets are like, they're kind of going easy. They're not selling out well.
Well, didn't it already happen?
It
happened.
No, it's a two-week thing.
Oh, okay.
So,
2 week or 2 day? No, it's a 2 day thing.
I thought it was a 2 week.
Two, 3 days.
Oh,
yeah, but not
maybe
weeks.
I'm thinking of Desert Trip. Yeah, Desert Trip. I don't know. I'm not cool enough to know these things.
Yeah, about maybe Burning Man or something?
No, it's something called Desert
Trip. Oh, Coachella.
No, it's something called Desert Trip. Let's move on.
Oh, okay.
I'm so
Let's move on from that one.
I don't know.
It's okay. Not many people know of this one, but it had Bob Dylan and the Rolling Stones and Paul McCartney. But they were talking on Howard Stern this morning. They said Bob Dylan was awful.
So that's when I went to Bob Dylan concert with my husband past year. Terrible.
Really?
Looked like a frog was being like, it sounded terrible.
Yeah.
I respect the man. I wrote a term paper on the man, but man, did it sound bad.
Wow. And they were saying that he asked them to turn off the cameras so the people that watch in the big screen, you know, if you're very far, you can't see the stage.
Sure.
So they couldn't see anything.
Oh, you mean he asked to turn the cameras on?
Yeah, he wouldn't
Why?
Let them project it on
that
there.
That guy's a wow.
Yeah, weirdo.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, well, let's get to our guest now because he's very eager to talk and we're very eager to talk to him. And we have Mr. Greg Travis in the studio. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Thank you, Sam.
Of course. Thank you for bearing through the 10, 15 minutes.
That was pretty brutal.
I know. You couldn't contain yourself. And if you want, later after we introduce you and your film and everything, we can talk about things that we talked about. Now, you can give us your opinion if you want on Trump, Hillary, whatever.
I'll tell you a quick Bob Dylan story. When I was first out here, I was walking around Westwood with a friend, and he saw Bob Dylan go into this Italian restaurant, and he was a big Bob Dylan. I was 19. I didn't know Bob Dylan from anything. You know, it was like, you know. And so he goes, oh, we got to get his autograph. Greg, you do it, you know. And so he gave me a little piece of paper and a pen. So I waited until he was seated, and I went in there, and I kind of slinked up to the table, and I said, Mr. Dylan, can I have your autograph? He goes, oh, no. And he just turned away from me, and I was just like, oh, okay.
Burn. Wow. No, he's just like that. Yeah, he's
I'll
like
just
that. Slink out of here.
Leave now. What?
Yeah, how can he possibly become a fan later on, you know, when you have that kind of a...
Yeah, it was weird.
He doesn't do any kind of... Yeah, he's not a warm...
Not a warm
He's not
person.
A Bruce Springsteen, let's just say.
Right. And that's amazing because it just goes to show you if you're very talented, it doesn't matter if you're an asshole, you know?
Yeah.
People still like your music.
Steve Jobs was a total asshole.
Yeah, he was pretty... Yeah.
Terrible man,
true.
But great innovator.
Not terrible man, but let's say not a great employer, okay?
He was a great dad.
He was a tough boss. Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We've all read
it. At least in
the
beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, but he matured, you know?
He sure did.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to judge people, you know. And
you're not there, exactly.
Yeah, you know, we don't know what happened to
exactly.
him. But you're right. I mean, and I've read just about every book on Steve
yeah,
Jobs.
Yeah, me too.
And because he is an icon,
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
I think they need to make another 4 or 5
oh
movies
my God.
About Steve Jobs.
So
right.
many movies. Oh, my God.
Every other week, there's a TV movie of the week. The new Steve Jobs film.
Yeah.
Ashton Kutcher was
the early
I
days.
I know, that
terrible.
One was the best. The other one was not as good. The one.
Michael Fassbender?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that one, but man, Ashton Kutcher cannot act. He was like, I'm going to make computers. I was like, all right. Okay, trucker hat.
You don't think he can act? Well, you know what? The only time I saw him was on Two and a Half Men. I actually saw him act. And that's a pretty silly show.
Yeah, that 70s
so
show.
So I didn't get to see him.
He was
really
great
act.
In that 70s show,
well, he
too.
He was playing a real broad character.
Yeah, like that's easy on a sitcom. But when he played Steve Jobs with nuances, it was not up his alley.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of a dude.
He's like a dude. He's a bro. He's a total bro.
Yeah,
and we want him to stay that bro.
Yeah.
You know, don't come over to that side.
So, Greg, let's talk a little bit about you.
Yes, sir.
Where are you originally from? Are you from L.A.?
No, I'm originally from Dallas.
Oh, really?
I came back out here. I mean, I came out here to go to film school in 78. Mm-hmm. And so I went to a place called Sherwood Oaks Experimental Film School on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
So did you move right after high school or something?
I did a year in Dallas at a local college there.
Okay.
And then I came out after. They wouldn't let
me. Okay, so we're about the same age because I graduated in 78 high school.
Oh,
yeah.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was 76, which is...
so it's a couple of years earlier.
Yeah, I've got
a couple years
reunion
earlier.
Coming up.
We're definitely part of AARP, right?
I guess so.
I think it's pronounced ARP.
I know, it is.
They sent me that magazine the other day with Warren Beatty on the front of it.
Really?
Yeah.
He's 79. Now.
He looks good still,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
I
okay,
still
so I'll call it ARP from now.
No, I was kidding. I was kidding. I'm trying to make it sound cool.
I thought someone texted you that I'm saying it wrong. I'm like, oh my God.
No, just their commercials trying to make it cool.
Yeah. You said either way, you know.
Yeah.
But so you moved from Dallas. What did you? So you knew right away you wanted to get into film.
Yeah, I had been in the drama department and, you know, in theater, and I'd been performing as a magician. And
really?
Yeah.
How did you get into
that? And I also wanted to do comedy. And so while I was going to film school, I started doing stand up comedy at the Comedy Store and the Improv.
Oh, wow.
And then that sort of took off.
So you're definitely an entertainer from birth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
From 12 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how it happens.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. I used to do like comedy shows sometimes for just one person, one friend.
So do I. At the comedy store sometimes.
And I'd get them to give me a quarter or something.
The late night spot.
I didn't
get
that one.
The belly room, late night, baby.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, Lord.
No, but I guess when you love it, you don't care, right?
You still care.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I did that for about, I headlined all over the world for about 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then I parlayed that into an acting career, and I did about 45 movies as an actor.
Wow.
And so I had a pretty good 15-year run.
Nice.
You know, as an actor. And now I'm trying to direct my own movies. I've got a little production company and GT Film Productions. And so I've done 3 features so far. And this one was a film that I did back in the 80s. We shot it on 16mm.
So you were young.
Yeah, I was 25 when I shot
this
film.
Wow, very cool.
And so it's the one that got away. It got messed up in post-production. And we tried to finish it on and off for years and years and years. Then the negative cutter, who had the work print and the film, had a stroke, retired, and I couldn't find him.
Oh,
and so for like 10 or 15 years... he had my film, and I
oh my god! He had the film.
Finally, one night in the middle of the night, I just woke up and I go, "I got to find this guy."
Yeah, right.
You know, so I got on the computer and I found the daughter, and I tracked her down. And they looked for it all in his garage, in his house. They couldn't find it.
Oh wow!
So 2 or 3 times they looked for it. Finally, I was just sick. I thought it was lost forever, and I called my psychic, Tana Marie Richards, and I said, is this thing gone forever?
Oh, I need a psychic.
And she said, no, it's in a little cabinet in the corner of the garage.
Oh, my God.
And that's where
you
it
gotta
was.
Be shitting me, man.
No, that's true story.
Wow.
Did you tell the daughters to go look specifically?
Yeah,
go,
yeah, and I begged the daughter. The son-in-law was helping me the most, and I begged him. He didn't want to look anymore. He was like, no, it's not there. We looked. And so, sure enough, they found it. And
that is insane. That's insane.
So, but it was, yeah, somebody was listening to you, you know?
It
was in your destiny.
And that's what I say. I did a documentary about this whole backstory to promote the film called 30 Years of Dark Seduction. And that's on YouTube now, too. And that's what I say in the thing. I said, now that the film gods gave me back the film, I had to finish it.
Right.
You know?
And you know what? I'm thinking about it. It's not really the film gods. You're the one that took the right turn at the fork of the road, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you could have said, you know what, it's gone. I'll just, you know, or given up or something. But you did not give up. You took the path that led you to actually release the film.
Yeah.
And it's become part of your life now.
Yeah.
You know, so so that's what they
don't
say.
Don't give up.
Don't give up, man.
No, it's true. And you know, we... a lot of times when it looks like everything is impossible and everything is against you, sometimes if you just back away for a little bit and then reapproach the thing.
Reframe the whole issue. That's Buddhist right there.
You know, then you can come at it from a little different angle and somehow push it through.
Right. Like they say, you can't see the forest for the trees, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So you got to pull back and see the whole picture. Yep. I agree with you.
Yep.
Sometimes when I used to sell bridal gowns, I would have the bride, they're this close to the mirror. Mm. And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, let's just walk back 10 feet. Sold.
Right,
sold. Because they can see the whole thing. And yeah. So visually, mentally, step it back a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, it took me a long time. Like, I had a problem with this one guy who was hanging on to this footage. And it just drove me crazy because he was literally stealing this film footage from me that didn't belong to him. You
yeah.
know? And I didn't know why. I didn't know where it was coming from. But, at first you get angry and you're like, you know, how dare you do this to me? But just, you know, if you back away and just give them space and sometimes then around, eventually they come around, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird how that works.
That's
but
true.
You have to keep
You have to keep going.
You have to keep at it and you have to keep, you know, trying to get things the way you want them.
But. Yes, you've got to, you know. And that's the amazing thing, you know, we get guests here that are very inspirational, you know, because it shows you the people that have achieved things.
Right, the people that make it here, like, that's the common denominator.
Exactly,
they
you know, they don't give up. They've got a book, they've got a film, they've got an album.
A documentary about the film.
Right, you know, so they've got things. So, so then, okay, so then...
Well, I think, we'll I think filmmaking, the nature of filmmaking is not to give up because it's a very long, tedious process.
Right,
you've got the writing of the script, you've got the gathering of the funds, you've got the shooting
filming,
process, and it's all very slow and plotted. And
you have to have a lot of patience.
Yeah, you have to have a lot of patience.
See, that's why I could never do it.
And then the editing and the post-production process, that's a real tedious and, you know, time-consuming process. So that's sort of built into the deal.
You're better at shorts.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, somebody told me once, I think it was an astrologist or something, and she told me, you're a sprint runner. You're,
you're not a marathoner. That's me.
A sprinter.
Yeah.
So that's indeed the case, you know, in things like that. That's why, I mean, I love books, but I can't see me writing an entire book.
Exactly.
You know, it's just too insurmountable for me. That's why I always admire people. I mean, you've taken on a big deal at the age of 25. I mean, and you knew, obviously, I mean, I looked at the trailer.
Dark Seduction.
Dark Seduction is the name of the film. And you're going to tell us in a moment about it. But I saw the, I don't know if you got to see the teaser, Tori, but it's like, it's sort of like an action film, but you made it like really old fashioned and black and white.
Film noir.
And, film noir, you know. All the titles and everything is like in the style of like Tarzan and all the old movies from the 30s and 40s,
right?
And then, so, and it has the feel of it. But it's got a twist to it, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just about the detective. Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll go back to you. But I just we already got to the movie, and I'm eager to hear about it. I'm actually eager to see it now.
Oh, good.
So
good.
You'll tell us later where people can see it.
Absolutely.
And Dark Seduction, Hard-Boiled versus Bloodsuckers.
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, it's Dick Jones, who's a down-and-out private detective, a 1940s-style detective. And I found this great actor, comedian, Tyler Horn, that had the square jaw and big, tough-looking guy, and with a kind of gruff voice. And he was like the perfect guy.
Yeah, right?
I said, I didn't even have casting sessions. I just said, you're the guy.
That's you.
Whoa. Yeah, this is the guy. So I wanted to make a detective parody, like a 1940s detective, you know, a film noir. And my partner, Steve, wanted to make the vampire film. We just kind of put the two together.
Wow,
and
how
so
cool.
The vampires are in the 80s and the detectives in the 40s, but it's because it's all sort of one world,
they
meld together really good. And the vampires are living in a castle somewhere, and we
is
don't
there
know,
like
you
know, time travel thing here
it
too?
It is a little bit of a time travel thing, but it's very subtle.
I see.
I mean, you would have to be a, you know, film critic historian to get into that aspect of
really,
it,
but
which I'm
so,
not. But
so it's interesting to know how you put the story together with two different years, you know, two different periods,
and you really can't tell because a lot of things that we shot were 40s locations, so. It doesn't feel too 80s, but it feels a little more modern than a 40s, so it's really hard to tell. But all the costuming and everything was both 40s and 80s. So.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It blends
so cool.
together really well.
Right.
And then we got very lucky with the vampire women, the two beautiful actresses that we used, Catherine Simmons and Victoria Huey, just were, you know, gorgeous and perfect and both really fine actresses. And
are you still in touch with them after all these years?
One of them I am. The other one I could not find. I couldn't track down Catherine Simmons. I tried, but I guess she's moved out of the...
Right, exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to track down a few people, too.
But a lot of the people I still were in contact with, when we had the premiere, I invited all the people that were still in Los Angeles to come.
So you found the film, and then was it finished? Like, how much did you then have to review?
I had done the cut, and it was about... And then when I transferred it over to digital to finalize it, I did a 2K transfer, and then I cut about another 10 minutes out of it after that just to tighten up things. And I fixed a few things that were still a little problematic.
Mm.
And when you're cutting on a flatbed, which is what we had to do in the old early 90s, we finished the cut. It's very difficult to get precise and fine cut because you don't want to go back and have to put anything back in, you know. So it was a little longer than I wanted it to be. But, so it's very tight, very modern cut now.
Cool.
And I redid the soundtrack, and I had a great post-production sound. And so it's really a well-done little movie. Yeah,
that's so cool.
I'm hoping it's going to be a midnight movie.
I was like a
days.
Cult classic.
It,
yeah.
it should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great movie. You know, I mean, it's professionally shot and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you got great posters and everything. If you guys want to see some of the art and see the teasers, tell us where they can find them.
There's a Dark Seduction page on Facebook, which is Facebook Dark Seduction. There's also a Twitter Dark_Seduction Twitter page.
Right.
And then my page is GT Film Productions with an S. com.
Okay.
And that is, it's got all three of my films on there, and it's got the main Dark Seduction page.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah.
And so, now, if people want to actually watch the whole film.
Yes.
Right. How are you with distribution?
Well, we've got it on VOD, which is video on demand, which is on iTunes, Amazon, and just, you know, Google any of the video demands Dark Seduction. And
great. So it's easy to see.
And some it's movies... also on pay-per-view cable. Many channels around the country have the pay-per-view.
It's a good Halloween movie.
Yeah, it's a great Halloween
movie.
So
you've done your work.
Yeah.
I mean, your footwork and everything.
A really good
know?
Distributor and... they've put it out there in a big way. So we just opened up last week on the 11th.
Wow.
So we're going to be, you know, talking about it and promoting it, you know, for months to come. But
yeah. And it's cool because you get audiences both from both sides, you know, vampire fans, you know, and vampires are always popular,
always.
Right?
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
always, doesn't matter what year it was.
But we were ahead of our time.
Yeah, you
when
were
we
pre-Twilight.
Did this,
yeah.
They when we did this in 84, they weren't that big
exactly.
a deal.
Exactly.
I
know?
See.
So it was kind of a unique thing that we were into. And I'd always like tough women. I always like women that could kick a guy's ass.
Right.
You know, so.
They're great on
I love that about that. You know,
yeah.
Because of, I don't know, just
yeah,
some of the
I mean,
other
it,
film.
It is sexy. I mean, I like dominant women and stuff. You know, it's like it has something to it, you know? Because men are usually like the pursuers and the aggressive ones.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And on film,
so there's
great.
A turn on, you know.
It's
good to
it's
have, it's good to have that actress that looks like she could really do that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
no, absolutely.
As opposed to these little frail women
they're
who
so
are
thin.
Like,
they're
I know,
so,
so thin.
Thin.
They're like knocking big guys out with one little kick. It's like, I don't think
no.
so.
No.
and they are hot. I mean, if you guys go on the website, you'll see. And or in the trailer, of course.
Yes.
So, and this is interesting because it was shot in the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it has an 80s feel. It's not like he shot it in 2016 trying to feel like in the 80s.
Nothing
so
was
it's
shot,
a lot genuine.
Yeah, everything genuine. We used in the film was shot when we shot the movie
wow.
in 84 and 85. We went back and added a few other scenes in 85, the beginning of 85.
Right.
Basically the summer of 84 during the Olympics, when the Olympics was going on, is when we were shooting this little strange little movie. Yeah.
Oh, the LA Olympics.
Yeah, the
right
LA
here.
Olympics were right
That's
in Los
right.
Angeles.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
I was two.
yeah.
They told everybody to leave town, so, you know, it was kind of cleared out.
Wow.
And there was
yeah,
a lot of...
town was cleared out completely.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
got really? Everybody got panicky that the freeways would jam and everything.
Right.
So everybody
Nobody
left
was there.
Town.
Yeah, everybody left.
People were renting out their houses for like $6,000 for 2 weeks.
It's like Airbnb
that's
now.
Right.
Yeah, remember
right.
that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was fun. I mean, the mood in the city was nice, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It
mm-hmm.
felt more intimate because there were less people,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But so at any rate, back to Dark Seduction. So now both women are vampires then,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And are there any male vampires?
There's some in dream sequences and whatnot.
Okay.
And we do a flashback to Serena's past and how she became. She's like a 2,000-year-old vampire.
Wow.
So, like, you know, she was with Dracula at one point.
I was going to say, she's got to meet up with Dracula.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know, so
right. Totally,
you
hook
know.
Up.
But Dick Jones, what happens in the story is that Dick Jones, the two vampire women have a falling out after one of their victim sessions, and one of her teeth, her fangs get knocked out in a fight. And so she's mad at her, and so they split up. She goes running off into the night, and Dick Jones picks her up. Mm. And so they go to a hotel and have a little affair.
Yeah.
And then she bites him with the one fang, so he's slowly turning into a vampire.
Oh.
And then he gets put on the case, and so while he's looking for them, he's slowly becoming a vampire.
This is cool. I like
Wow.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
But, you know, there's something about vampires that, you know, once they bite you, that's it. There's no turning back.
He only has one fang, man.
Yeah, it's a slow creep.
Right, you know? And it's funny. You know that, what was that movie with?
Interview with the Vampire?
No, but Before Dawn or something? Or
oh, yeah.
What was it with Dawn something with George Clooney? And it was sort of like a normal movie until they got to that bar in Mexico or something.
That huge fight.
Right. And then everybody turned into vampires.
Yeah. From Dusk Till Dawn.
Dusk Till Dawn.
Thank you. So that's because I don't watch a lot of vampire movies. Mm-hmm. But so that's why that one came to mind because I watched it maybe a couple months ago. Yeah. So a couple months ago, I decided to watch it again for some reason. And because I remember that when I saw it the first time, when did it come out? Do you know? Do you have any idea? Just looked it up.
I think it was the Robert Rodriguez film. I think it came out.
I was going to say it right.
Like 80s,
70s.
No, it was late 90s. Yeah, late
90s. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's Clooney. Right. Clooney wasn't around.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why I'm thinking that.
That was his first breakout film.
Because what I do remember from... I do remember from seeing it the first time I was really high on pot, okay?
1996.
96.
Yeah.
Okay, where was I? Yeah, I could have been high on pot that night. But I remember so it was like so freaky when suddenly everything turned into vampires.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what to expect. You know, I'm like, this is like just a gangster, not
right,
gangster,
right.
But yeah, you know, like.
Well, that was Tarantino mixing genres.
I was just going to say Tarantino.
Right. Mixing genres, which
right.
he does a lot.
Right.
And I guess the idea was that let's start out with a gangster film
right.
with these two criminals and have it turn into a monster movie. Mm-hmm. You know?
I know. And that's exactly what it did to me. So it kind of stayed with me and I saw it. So that's the reason I'm bringing it up because I haven't seen that many vampire movies.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like it's a Tarantino. Your film reminds me of Tarantino in the way of the mixture mm-hmm. of the genres, which mm-hmm. he like loves to do.
Yeah.
And the dark sort of humor of it all.
Yeah.
And the strong women. I mean, that's also so Tarantino.
Right.
Cool.
But it was also Russ Meyer's before Tarantino, mm. like with Faster Pussycat, mm-hmm. Kill, and Russ would always have some very strong, tough women in his films.
Yeah, Tarantino is probably paying homage to that in what he's
doing.
Well,
he wants to do a remake of Faster Pussycat, so you must
know he's very up his alley.
Very much influenced by Russ Meyer, as we all were, who's kind of got an ultra quality, like his fight scenes were a little over the top, and his like violence was a little over the top.
It's like Color, where it's a little turned up too,
saturated. Yeah, exactly.
You know
what I mean? A little overdone. Yeah.
Just like Tarantino.
But it makes it funny.
Yeah, it makes it very weirdly enjoyable.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, Pulp Fiction is one of my top five because it's like I'm totally loving and laughing, and this guy's head's getting blown off, and I'm really enjoying myself.
And it's out of sequence.
Out of sequence.
You know, the stories are out of sequence.
I even liked The Hateful Eight, which didn't have a strong female, which I did. I participated in a blog about that as being the only anti-female Tarantino film, but I love that even. I was just fully enjoying myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a very good movie maker, filmmaker. There's no doubt about it. But so is Greg Travis, apparently.
He's
made a great film. And the actors, I don't know how they act because I haven't seen it yet, but from the stills, they all look just the part.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you guys
so
really
lucky.
Nailed it.
I had some very funny comedian actors, Robert Schimmel, who's since passed away, Mr. Sarcasm was in it, and we had Mark Goldstein, who was a very well-known local comedian, and Joe Alasky, who was a voiceover actor, a lot of cartoons, and Julie Brown. I don't remember
Julie
Brown, but she was my very first girlfriend when I was out here.
Downtown Julie Brown?
No, the other one.
Uptown.
Everybody
Julie
always
Brown.
Asks me that.
Uptown Julie Brown.
Must drive her crazy.
Yeah, it does. I'm sure it does.
But it's a common
Julie
name,
Brown
right?
was the VH1
the
or the
VJ.
The DJ.
She's still a radio show host.
Yeah. Julie Brown was the homecoming queen's got a gun and a lot of these. She did a lot of music and
songs. Oh, wow. Very cool. So you were fortunate to get some
good. You had some good people. So did they all come back for the reunion?
A lot of them did. They were around. Wow. Yeah, it was great.
Must have been
I've
a
got
trip.
A documentary that shows all of the... the premiere footage called 30 Years of Dark Seduction, and that's on YouTube as well.
Right.
And you can see the whole story. I do a whole 50-minute documentary about the entire story the beginning.
Yeah. That's cool.
I mean, so that's, I would love to that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's very cool. Now, what I wanted to ask is, okay, so you found the stuff from 1984, right? Mm-hmm. When did you find it? Did we ask him that? No. When did you find the footage?
Well, when I got the footage back, I got it back from my partner in the early 90s, and that's when I hired an editor, and I went in and I did the final cut,
okay,
or what I thought
okay.
was the final cut. And then you turn it over to the sound, and then you turn it over to the negative cutter. And in doing the sound, the company went out of business, and so they gave me all my sound on a little data storage tape, and I couldn't get that open for years, and that's part of the story as well.
Wow, it's such an uphill battle.
I know.
It was
cursed.
Right?
I just said it was cursed for so long, and everything I tried to do was just a major nightmare. And so, you know, I just let the negative cutter hang on to it, and then once he disappeared, the whole thing was gone. So
yeah.
when I got it back from him, mm-hmm. I had both the tape and the film.
Right.
So it was just a matter of finding a way to do this.
Right. And then you did it in the 90s and everything.
And opening that sound tape was a major ordeal. I went to every place in L.A.
Who ended up being
they didn't have the equipment.
There was a little guy over in Culver City.
It's always a little guy in Culver City.
Who had like one of these shops with every computer, every old recorder, it was called the History of Sound.
Wow.
He was able to get in there.
Wow.
There you go. There's a persistent. You see, he's shown his
guy.
Persistence
he's like
again.
A. What are they?
He's determined.
He's like
I was a
German
detective.
Shepherd.
I was a detective.
It's funny because I was like, why didn't you make a film noir about finding a film? You know, I was like, that's what this is.
No, I never want to go through this again.
True.
I don't even
want
to.
Why is everything so difficult for crying out loud?
The documentary was enough.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I auditioned for a pilot season this year for a film noir comedy, and man, was it my favorite audition I've ever done.
Oh, cool.
Ugh, because you get to really play that genre, but you play it real and then it's even funnier. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's great.
Yeah, you got to play it straight.
Straight.
A lot
of
people say, oh, this movie's campy, but it's not campy.
Yeah.
It's every actor is believing they're
you
in that moment.
You have to be in your
and
reality.
Straight out down the line, they're really in their character.
Yeah.
And, you know, campiness, I think the word has been confused with a lot.
Kitschy. There's a lot of different things.
If it's funny, that's one thing. But if it, you know, campy's like people winking and posing at the camera, you know. And
like Airplane isn't campy. I mean, it is campy, but they play those roles dead on.
Right.
Right.
They play straight.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah. That's what makes it funny.
But this film is funny at times too,
oh,
right?
Absolutely. It's
okay.
more funny than anything else.
Oh, really? So
yeah. I mean, it's a big parody of a 1940s detective film,
okay.
along with the horrific aspect of the vampires. But vampires are really, let's face it, they're not that scary.
No.
You know, I've never seen one vampire film that scared me.
Robert Pattinson, you know? Give me a break.
Yeah, it's like, they're sexy. They're romantic.
Very
hot. It's a very romantic thing, you know.
That's true,
Which is interesting, aren't they? Like, even Interview the Vampire was very, like, hot.
Right.
It was Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a sexy kind of thing.
So I did, I have asked a couple of, we had, what's his name? I forgot. I think Cronin is his last name. He wrote the book on vampires, or one book, a successful book on vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him on the show by phone, and I asked him, "What's the fascination with vampires? Mm-hmm. Why do people like it? Because I don't really connect with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure I will now after your film, because I mean, with these hot chicks, man. And then some. I saw in the teaser, there's some really seductive scenes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like really sensuous.
Yeah, I
and
like
everything.
A little sexiness. I think.
I mean,
it's,
you've got
to
add
the
it
movies.
To the movie,
I
right?
mean, that's the romantic
dark
version
seduction.
Of a
people
film.
Go
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, people go to movies. To see fantasy
exactly.
and things like that, you know.
You're escaping into another world. Mm-hmm. You want to be taken into that world and taken on a little story and a little ride. And it's like a book, you know. You want to dive into mm-hmm. it and be lost in it.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so we concluded that, you know, the fascination probably comes from the fact that they live forever. They're always young. They're always hot.
It's
you
like
know?
It's like an L.A.
Right.
Housewife.
And it gives you like... And it gives you like,
but there's a price to be paid.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's
exactly.
a price to be
sell
paid, and then that's one of the subplots of the movie is that the Serena, the main older vampire woman, she wants to die.
That's just Brad Pitt in an Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah,
same
she
thing.
She wants to die because she's so sick of living, and she has a speech.
It's been
at
so
the
long,
end
right?
About, yeah, it's been so long, and she's bored with everything now.
Yeah.
You've seen it all, done it all.
That's
and
the
she
vampire's
just wants
quest.
To check out. And so she goes to the moon goddess and bows before the moon goddess in the middle of the moon, and she says, "I'm, you know, I can't make a relationship work, you know. That's a reason.
After
that
2,000 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so tricky. Yeah. It's complicated.
But yeah, that's a big thing. It's like there is a price to pay. And I guess it's a moral lesson, you know. It's like, what's that famous guy that lives to be young forever? Dorian Gray.
Dorian Gray.
Yeah, yeah,
the
it's that
of
sort
Dorian
of
Gray.
Thing. Yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, even in a movie as recent as the one with Tom Hanks, remember where he lived, like, the 6 Mile? Okay, The Green Mile.
Oh, the Green
Stephen King book.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember when the guy touched him and then he wasn't dying, right?
Right, right.
And everybody, and he outlived everybody, and he's like, everybody's dying around me. I don't want to be alive anymore. Mm-hmm. You know.
Oh, okay.
So I think it's like you're connecting with something where I think if someone gets old enough, they realize I don't want to be alive anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like mm-hmm. I've done my thing. You know, I've had
yeah,
my share.
And I think when their body goes, I had a landlady that was 93. And
wow.
I said, you know, what? She says, I want to check out.
When the body goes,
yeah.
You're right.
It's like, you know, I can't do anything anymore. I'm just sort of like, you know, tired of it all.
Right. And that's at 95, you know. I mean,
it's
I'm looking
at
people.
It's a lot of work just to get through a day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, when you're that in pain or mm-hmm. when you're that old. So I guess to a certain point you do, you're better yeah. off checking out. You know?
Exactly.
This is a very uplifting conversation for me.
All right,
don't
well,
check out, Tori. You got your whole life ahead of you. It's not that bad
I can't
yet.
I can't do it.
Well, if you guys think that Greg Travis is entertaining and interesting, then you're part of the group here.
Yes.
And you guys should definitely check it out. Dark Seduction. Again, tell us where people can watch it and see it.
iTunes, Amazon. It's on some of the pay-per-view channels. Google it.
Just Google it.
Dark Seduction. And,
at least go to YouTube, find Dark Seduction, see the trailers.
There's
or,
also a Midnight Releasing that has a bunch of the thing. Midnight Releasing is putting it out, and they've got a page on their website, a Dark Seduction page, that tells you where all it's
what's
it's located
Midnight at. Releasing? What's that?
It's a distribution company.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. It's the company that's putting the film out.
Oh,
yeah.
Very interesting, man. Yeah. So you produced and directed the film, right?
I co-produced it, and then I took over the production when I got it back from my partner. We made an agreement, and then I became the sole producer. And
but did you direct the whole thing?
I co-wrote it with him. He had a little bit of an idea with the vampire, and then we brought in the detective idea from my end, and so we co-wrote the script together.
Right.
And then I directed the film.
It's oh, like awesome. His baby. You know?
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's amazing to me at 25. How did you know how to direct a film?
I'd started making movies in high school, you know? So I made a feature-length film my senior year in high school.
Yeah, the cool kids in my school, like the guy I had a crush on, he was able to make films like at like 14, 15.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was easier with our iPhones and stuff, but I mean, we didn't have iPhones. But I mean, you can do it as a young age. You just have to learn, and Spielberg did it.
And
like
I did a bunch of shorts my junior year, and then in the senior year I just got real ambitious. And they had this Super 8 film with soundtrack, so we actually could put music and dialogue on the film and have a sound movie.
Wow.
And so I showed it for 3 nights in my high school. I turned a profit.
Did you get a girl? I mean, that's sexy as hell.
And I said, hey, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow,
little did
cool.
I know.
How cool. So you started on a long journey and you completed it.
Yeah.
When did the film become complete and ready?
At the end of 2015, we completed it. And it took me about 8 or 9 months of that year to finish up the music. We did a new soundtrack and to get the sound all completed and everything. Right. And
so it was a 30-year project for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, but you've got something to show for it.
Yeah, now I've finished it up. It always bugged me. It was the only thing I'd ever done that never got finished.
It always sticks in your craw. When you're someone like that, you can't let it go.
That's the phrase I used to use. It's like sticks in my craw.
Totally.
Because it was like, you know, I'd put a lot of work and effort, and I had spent so much time trying to find the cut after we made the film in the editing room. We had a lot of footage. We shot a lot of stuff. And it was just trying to find the right cut of everything. And the story was a little, you know, erratic because we had these two different elements. And so just to find that right cut took me a long time. Mm. And once I found that right balance of everything, you know, then it was a matter of, okay, who am I going to get to help me do this? And, you know, and finding the right editor.
But the lesson is, like, he had it finally. He had looked for it for 30 years, and then he didn't rush it. You still took your time making it right again.
Yeah, I took my time making it right again.
Because I would be like, okay, quick, put it up.
Yeah, no, I knew, yeah. I mean, and also the people I was working with, they helped me out, gave me breaks on deals and everything, and so I would
just
have...
But you took your time, that's
so
smart.
I did, I took my time, yeah, to make sure, because I didn't want to go and have to redo anything.
Exactly.
You know?
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm going to watch it probably on Amazon. I got Amazon Fire TV. And I'll give you 5 stars.
Yeah.
Oh, I know already because I can't wait to see the film.
Oh,
I mean,
fantastic.
It's amazing. So give people again your website, your social media, so they can see the trailer.
Okay.
They can find out where they can see it and also get in touch with you if they want to.
Okay. I'm at gtfilmproductions.com. And then I've got a Greg Travis Facebook. There's a Dark Seduction Facebook, which is a good place.
Yeah, that's where you can
go. And they've got tons of stuff on there. We've been putting trailers and all kinds of different information. There's a Dark Seduction Twitter. And, there's Midnight Releasing is putting it out on their website. And and it's going to be on, a lot more pay-per-view channels as we go along, cable and everything. And hopefully, everybody always asks me, when's it going to be on Netflix? But what I have to explain to them is, it's got to be on all these others first.
First, yeah.
Right. And Netflix is the caboose.
Yeah.
It's the last car on the
train. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And you see, that question crossed my mind, but I didn't ask him that.
You didn't.
No, because why would I minimize where he already is? You know, I mean, you've done a great play. You've done a great thing. I don't care if it's on Netflix or not. I'll see
it
somewhere
else.
Yeah,
like everyone is, if you're on Amazon and iTunes,
well,
you're fine.
Everybody's got that,
yeah.
So they want to know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just they don't know how the whole thing works.
My mom said, but how do I get onto YouTube? I don't belong to YouTube. And my dad goes, no one belongs to YouTube. You can go whenever you want. And I was like, that's so funny.
That is funny.
Well, you know, that's
she didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, and also check out the 30 years of Dark Seduction on YouTube, because that's a lot of fun.
The documentary about
the
making of it.
That tells the whole story.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
Yeah,
I forgot about that one.
That's on YouTube for free.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, so finally, what did I want to ask you? I can't believe this now. Okay. Oh, I do remember the last minute of the show, Greg. Is there a chance? What are the chances of getting it into the theaters?
I want to do that eventually. There still are about 60 or 70 theaters that show midnight movies, both on Friday and Saturday nights on the weekend.
That'd be perfect.
And Rocky Horror is usually the Saturday night show. And then they have a rotating bunch of films they do on Friday night.
And
I would love to get going as a midnight movie in that rotation eventually, you know.
Yeah, well, I can't see how you're going to be stopped, man. I mean, full steam.
He's
here,
a bull.
Well, we want to continue to make movies, and I'm going to do more and more. And I love the art of making films, and it's my passion. And I feel like all the stuff that I went through as a comedian and an actor has also prepared me, you know, for this place now, because I know so much more than I would have had I jumped in it in an earlier place.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sam.
Such a
thank
pleasure.
You, Tori.
You're an awesome guest and a great filmmaker. And everybody, I recommend this. I'm definitely, this is going to be
Halloween.
The next
do
one.
This for Halloween.
Yeah.
The next film. I'm glad I met you, and I'm glad we brought up this film, because I've been looking for a good film to see.
There you go.
And there you go.
On a nice rainy night.
Yes, exactly.
Perfect.
Maybe it'll continue raining in L.A., but right now the
sun
sky's
is out.
Blue. Sky's blue. That's about all we get.
That's
here.
All we get. Yeah.
And the great thing is, we never brought up Trump once.
I was so proud of us. I've never done that on this show. I have never
not once.
Once.
I've great.
Never done that.
Great.
Bravo, everyone.
Yeah, we needed a break from
we
that.
Sure
yeah,
did.
We sure did.
All right. Okay, Tori, thank you as
thank
always.
You.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.